Coffee Pot Conversations.
In this episode, I'm bringing my eldest son, Rory, to talk about his perception of Paris. We had a few practice runs for the podcast, only a couple of minutes each, and then I threw him in at the shallow end. Guiding the interview as best I could through different parts of our various trips to Paris, a few points to note. The first is that there were a million people in the Champs-Élysées on New Year's Eve. The next point is the brand name of the drink that we discussed, Champomy, also known as Le Champagne des Enfants, Champagne of the Children. We've still not had the spare bottle that we have at home. Another point later on, we discussed Southend briefly, which is a seaside resort on the east coast of England. It's a place that most Londoners from the north and east parts of London went to during their childhood. Brighton and Bournemouth are the haunts of the South and West Londoners mainly. Another little incident to note is the fact that I did French for 3 years and Spanish was actually for 4 years, which we started in the second year of secondary school. The lady at the Ibiza Beach Bar was called Marta, which I'm sure isn't a particularly Spanish name. And Casey Laulala, apologies for any mispronunciation, is the rugby player that has now moved back to New Zealand to empower Pacifica people with knowledge, resource and specialised support into residential property ownership. This was after he built up his restaurant, Itakoa Pariso, on the Rue Saint-Denis. It's not often that I take time to interview my children as opposed to interrogate, so for me this was an absolute treasure of a moment. It really, really was one that I'm hoping we'll both cherish for many years to come. And as always, I'll be typing up the notes and popping them onto the website, which is a whole other project for me at the moment.
Coffee Pot Conversations.
Hello and welcome to Coffee Pot Conversations. I'm here with my eldest, Rory.
Hello, I'm Rory.
There we go. And we're sitting in a coffee shop in rainy August. So, I brought Rory in today because he was giving his brother grief and aggravation. I thought now's a good time to have your debut interview for my podcast. So thank you, Rory, for turning up.
Not
that you had much choice.
Not really.
But it stops you from nerf gunning your youngest brother in the face.
I'd have done it anyway.
What, the nerf gunning?
Or? Yeah.
Okay.
When I did, I shot him.
Nice. So, one thing that I like doing is studying and learning, as can be seen by my recent qualifications. I graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Creative Writing and Religious Studies, and then went on straight away to do my Master's, also in Creative Writing. My theme of my final year for the Master's was all Paris-based, and that's sort of what kept me going all this time. So, Rory, looking at Paris and studying, what have you learned about Paris?
I have learned that there's always something going on. That it's never just a quiet Sunday. There's always something big going on.
Absolutely. However, you say about something going on Sundays. Did you know the first Sunday of the month, traffic-free in parts
really?
Of Paris? Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
And you would have noticed that partly when I did my half marathon. If it had been on the first Sunday, which I believe it was, as was the full marathon.
It was quite quiet, to be fair.
The 10K was the second Sunday, but we were lucky that they shut off some of the roads for us around the back of the Louvre. But so, Sundays, quiet days, loads to learn.
Yeah.
You've been to Paris twice now?
I have indeed.
Once was an amazing trip in between Christmas, and then we led it on to New Year's Eve.
It was very nice. It's really nice.
We missed the fireworks due to a poor geographic location. However, I didn't want to be involved with the I think 2 million or half a million or something people.
And you bought a surprise.
Bought a surprise.
The champagne, or the fake champagne at least.
Absolutely. Fake champagne for those listening, because Rory is under the legal age of alcohol consumption passed in public. But it was, I forgot what they called it, but it was an apple, fizzy apple, wasn't it? It was like apple ties, but
it was really nice.
Very nice. We've actually still got a bottle indoors.
We do, we need to open it.
We do. That was meant to be once I finished the 10K, and we were going to do it, but then everything's gone whoopsie-woo since then. So compare this New Year's Eve that we just had to the previous one in Southend. We saw more fireworks in Southend.
Oh, we did. To be fair, the atmosphere in Southend was amazing. It was good. But Paris was just a different level, honestly. Counting back in French.
That was fun. Well,
that wasn't fun. It was difficult.
So, talking of French, are you learning French at school?
No, I'm not. I'm actually learning Spanish.
And how's that going?
Amazingly.
That's good.
Yeah, I really like it. It's a nice language.
But you studied both when you were in junior school or primary school?
Yeah, I studied Spanish for about half a year, and then the rest of the 5 years was all French, same teacher.
But you still preferred Spanish?
100%. I think it's just a nice language. It flows off, comes out the tongue nicer.
So when I was going through my secondary school, I did, I think, 2 years of, 3 years of French, 2 years of Spanish. I preferred Spanish and stuck with that. Kind of regret it now because obviously my trips into Paris, but I am slowly learning enough French to get by.
More French than me.
I can order two boxes of paracetamol, which is always useful.
Oh, you can indeed.
And breakfast as well.
Yeah.
So those voices you can hear belong to the staff in the coffee shop. English being quite a universal language, so for us English folk, we're quite lucky. However, we do try and speak French when we go to Paris.
Yeah, I say the odd word or two. But...
And that's right. And when we were in Starbucks, they were quite helpful.
They were.
The first time out.
Yeah.
And have you found any language problems being in Paris? I know I've sort of been the voice box for everyone, but... Have you noticed people conversing more in French or more in English with you? Or?
More English, but they can see I'm actually trying.
So like in the Lind shop, the chocolate shop in the Latin Quarter.
Yeah.
Very nice man and woman there, I believe.
Yeah, I think one of them are actually Portuguese. They speak Portuguese. Spanish, French and English.
Was that the lady or was that the man?
I don't remember. I think it might be both of them.
Because I think the lady, when I went back for the marathon, she was still there, but made friends with a different chap from that shop. He was very friendly and saw him afterwards as well, walking home, popping down on the metro.
Oh, nice.
I'm quite, I don't know if distinguished is the right word, but once you see me, you tend not to forget me, being 6'4" and dressed in
a weird style
with a hat on my head quite often.
Yeah.
So I got asked the other day, in fact it might have been earlier today, which is my favourite, Ibiza or Paris?
Oh yeah, it was actually. We did ask you that.
So, for those of you that know me, you know my love of Ibiza. It's an absolute beautiful island to go to. Nev's next door at the moment in Mallorca, having a nice little break. So, myself and Rory, say we're in a coffee shop having a chat. But my love for Ibiza is... it's overwhelming. I started going back in 94, eventually got Rory and Jasper there in 2018. We followed up with a 2020 visit during the mad time of the COVID pandemic. And then we went back to Ibiza again in 2021, the week after the London Marathon.
Yeah. The 2021 was actually all right, thinking about the time. Well, it was an all right-ish.
We were lucky because when we arrived, they then said, lockdown time again. And one thing that I have noticed studying the pandemic lockdowns is every country did things differently. So where we had one long lockdown, France had a lot of little lockdowns. We then entered our different restriction groups, at which point Paris had already done that. They had their curfews and everything else. Now, this is a non-political podcast, so I'm not going to say which government did things right and which ones didn't do things right. You can read my blog for that. But I would have done things totally differently to everyone, because I would have shaken hands with world leaders and said, right, let's welcome this together.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got to Ibiza and we had a nice week, and then I returned from that week, skipped off straight to Paris, which I wasn't meant to do. But hey, times have gone past. I'm sure the politicians won't come for me now that they've been in more trouble than it's worth. But again, it's not a political podcast. Just covering my tracks. So, Ibiza, how'd you find that?
Amazing. It was stunning, enjoyable, lovely.
But more of a beach holiday.
Yeah.
Despite the 5K walk that we took one day.
Oh yeah, from Kalalonga to say to
Santa Ilaria.
Santa Ilaria. Yeah, we took the Uber back, didn't we?
Certainly did. That was a well-deserved cab. So I do take the cabs.
The lady was nice, wasn't she?
She was a very nice driver. Absolutely. Yeah, she did us good. So then we've been to Paris twice.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, once was for the Christmas New Year gap.
Yeah.
And the second time was for the half marathon coinciding with your birthday, which was quite nice because the day after was your birthday.
Yes.
So we managed to save a couple of quid on the Eurostar fare there. So.
But they wouldn't have actually known it was my birthday, would they?
They would have checked your passport and seen.
Oh, yeah.
But then the passport control is totally different to the ticket people.
Yeah.
So that we could have got away with
could
that. I wouldn't want to risk it for a biscuit. Not with the French authorities, or the English, in fact.
Yeah.
And Eurostar was struggling as it is. which is good for competition, but no good for Eurostar. So, now having been to Paris twice, compare it to Ibiza.
Ooh. See, it's two completely different things. It's a beach holiday, like I said already, and it's a city break. But if I kind of had to choose one, it would be Ibiza, as it's more of a relaxing. You've got time, you can do anything you want. Whereas Paris is amazing. You've got shops down the road, you've got shops next to you. But it's kind of just energetic. That every, like I said, everything's going on at once. You don't really get a rest day.
The reason for that, Ibiza, when we go all-inclusive beach holiday, nice and relaxing.
Yeah.
Paris being a city break, as you rightly said, there's so much to do. Things are always going on. Doesn't matter what day of the week, what time of the day or night, things are always, always buzzing. And that's, for me, that's nice.
Yeah.
Gives me creative juices and creative input. But likewise, relaxing in an Ibiza beach, a poolside bar is also very, very nice. Sometimes very much deserved.
That St. Ilaria bar was nice, wasn't it? The hut, remember?
At a beach hut.
Beach
absolutely,
hut.
Very good. I've forgotten the lady that ran that, so I'm not Matilde, but it wasn't Matilde.
It was a really Spanish name. That was a proper Spanish name. I wouldn't
want
to remember.
Now, the funny thing about you saying about Spanish beach hut was the first time I ever had a croque monsieur was in Ibiza.
Oh, wow.
There you go. So that's how one way I can tie things back to Paris every time. The weirdest thing for me was going to a Spanish water park, asking for croque monsieur in Spanish, and trying to remember whether to say s'il vous plaît or pour favor at the end of it. that was surreal.
Yeah.
But it's like the time I was also in Ibiza many years later, and I went to a Chinese restaurant.
Oh.
And I ordered all the food in Spanish, and she responded to me all in English.
Oh.
That was nice.
Yeah.
And again, coming back to the language, I find that a lot of the people in Paris do talk to you in English.
Yeah.
You can, what's the first thing you say when you walk into a shop?
Bonjour.
And from that, they can detect whether you're English or not, just the way we say it. And then they want to use their English. It's a sign of, look, I speak English. Also, it's a way of making us feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And also for them, some of them, it's a nice way for them to practice their English.
Yeah.
Which isn't good if we want to practice our French.
Nope, it's really not.
But it's not, it's like that time we went to the hotel and I was chatting to the chap at the front desk about my running.
What, HSP? Hotel Saint-Pierre?
No, it was the second one down the Rue de Les Hôtels by Gare Tonneau. And I was saying about where I did the half marathon Bois de Vincent, and he was saying that there's a prison there and a race course, and he was saying this to me all in French because his English wasn't particularly strong. His English was probably as good as my French, so we were quite level on that. But that was I do find that
probably interesting. I do remember standing around going, what is happening? One second we're talking about what we've done yesterday, next thing is what we got for Christmas. It's really weird. Yeah,
it's good conversations. So, is there anything you wish to discuss? Anything you want to bring up or any questions you thought I was going to ask you about?
apart from what I study.
So what do you study?
Currently I study RS English.
What's RS? For those that don't know.
Religious studies.
And just for the record, that noise was the chair that Rory moved with his foot.
Oh yeah. Religious studies, English, maths, all three sciences, chemistry, biology and physics. PE, art, all the regular subjects that you majority would get in an average school.
And now that you've had your debut podcast interview,
yes.
What do you hope to go on to in the future, living-wise, for a career, a job?
I've been thinking about this for ages. It would be either like a sporty coach, so that's biology, PE, physical education, all of that, or just playing in sport full-time, so it could be an F1 driver, which is probably never going to happen, as you need loads of karting experience, F2 and all of that. And then a basketballer, to a rugby player, to a footballer from a young age. But, yeah, I'm not actually too sure yet. We'll see how my GCSEs will do in a couple of years, and I'm going from there.
Definitely sports-related.
100% sports.
Well, you know, my favourite podcaster, Oliver G.
Yeah.
He's not here at the moment.
Shout
out to Oliver G in the Earful Tower. Whoop, whoop. Absolute, truly fabulous chap. Met up with him just before doing my marathon and bought a painting off of him. Little known fact that I am the painting purchaser.
How much was it?
I don't wish to divulge such things, but I did win the auction. Apologies for the person that actually bid higher than me. I was told by Oliver that because he knows how big a fan I am, that he wanted to sell it to me because it would mean more.
Oh, sad. Poor person.
So I do apologise to the unlucky entrant. However, it's gone to a very good home.
Even is it?
It's on the dining table waiting still to be framed up. Which,
dusting.
Not dusting at all. I look at it every day when I'm downstairs. But it's going to be put in a frame along with a photo, a letter of provenance. And again, not many people know this, but I've also bought a copy of his book, Paris on Air.
I didn't even know that.
Bought it from Smith & Son in the Marais. I was having a coffee with Nev one afternoon in Place de Saint-Antonio, which is also San Antonio being the place in Ibiza.
I was just thinking about that, to be fair.
We stopped off for a coffee and I thought, you know, I'm just going to have a check. I'm supporting him on Patreon now, and I thought, why not? So I went, bought it, read it, amazing book. Nearly as good as my debut book, Mind, My Mind, Mind. Wouldn't recommend anyone buying it though. Or even reading it, but it was 3 years of my life written down. So again, I've always been into writing. That was back in 2001 I started that.
Wow.
Yeah, long time ago.
What time did you finish it?
Finished about 9:15. So it took 3 years to do. Self-published. So Oliver G, going back to the subject, is a huge basketball fan and
really?
Player. Absolutely. He plays, or used to play, until he got dodgy knees. I don't know if he still does play. But there's a special basketball court around in Paris, and it sort of backs onto one of the famous walls and stuff.
Wow.
And I think on my many travels of walking, I have seen that basketball court. I'm sure I've seen it, and I've got a photo somewhere.
What is it, that actual team, or is it play for international, like European?
No, it's just a group of French people or international people just hanging around. Like, you go to the park and have a kick about with your football, that sort of thing. But also, riding off the back of Oliver G and basketball, there's a rugby player from from New Zealand, who's opened up a restaurant in Paris.
Ooh.
I've forgotten his name.
Is he like the manager of it, or is he?
He was a proper All Black. All Black player, and he's running it, and I don't think he's chefing.
He would be in there. So if I went there tomorrow, he would be there.
He might be. He might be. I'd need to find out research and stuff.
Do you know his name?
I don't, but it will be in the show notes after the show. Rugby player, restaurant owner. Yeah, so that's that. But also going back to rugby, you play rugby yourself?
I do.
Are you going to enter the under 13 squad? Come September, and that's for Wanstead Heron Rugby Club, Rugby Football Club, which still creates confusion to a lot of people.
It's not regular football. The football is kicking the ball, but it's majority passing with the hands. But you can't say rugby club, but if you're kicking it, then it's rugby football, unless you're kicking it like a football.
But yeah, and obviously France are quite good with their, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, they're quite good with their rugby. They like playing rugby, let's put
they're
it like that. We've got the Rugby World Cup coming up at the end of the year, which if you're listening later on in time, you will know who's already won.
Actually, today, England and Wales are playing in the Nations Summer Conference or something like that.
So that's like the Mickey Mouse Cup.
I don't know what it is, but I think that might... That's
one
at 5:30 GMT.
Probably the British summertime.
Oh, it could be that. I don't know.
So this is going to start in about 7 minutes at the time of this recording. However, obviously listening, once this is out, it would have already taken place. And I might even, for future reference, put the score down if I can remember.
Hopefully.
And if I find my notes here that I've scribbled down in the coffee shop. So... We're coming up to 20 minutes, which is roughly a good time for podcast to finish. So I'd like to say thank you to my second guest.
Thank you.
That's Rory, my eldest son. At some point, I'm going to try and get Jasper in. Who knows what's going to happen. And for those that think you may recognise Rory's voice, he's going to get embarrassed now, but he is the voice of the jingle.
Oh, yeah, that is me.
I don't know if you want to give a quick live performance.
I'm fine, thank you.
Go on then, one quick one.
No,
go on, one quick one.
No,
go on, one quick one. Go on, go on. Go on. I did buy you coffee.
Fine, thanks.
It's non-coffee coffee, by the way, for those listening. Worried that my 13-year-old boy is smashing out the caffeine. We don't do that. So, anyway, so thank you once again for joining me. And that's it. Anything you wish to say?
Not really.
Okay. Well, that makes a lovely change. So, we shall see you all soon. Thank you very much.
Coffee Park Conversations.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of An Englishman in Paris, Coffee Park Conversations. We've had the pleasure of talking to our special guest today, Rory, a remarkable young lad who I've had the pleasure of knowing all his life. If you want to explore more about me and my general times that have some relevance to Paris, don't forget to visit anenglishmaninparis.blog. You can also check out at An Englishman in Paris blog on Instagram. If you enjoyed the episode, please consider supporting the podcast by buying a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/An Englishman in Paris. Your support goes a long way in keeping the conversation going. You can either buy a one-off coffee or subscribe for a monthly membership, which at this stage doesn't actually give you too much. Being the beginning of 2024, however, moving forward, I am looking at getting a lot more behind the scenes, extra videos, extra recordings. That's all the good stuff still to come. So please stay tuned for our upcoming episodes where we'll dive into even more captivating stories and insights. Until next time, remember to keep sipping that intellectual brew with Coffee Pot Conversations. And before we finally wrap up the conclusion, I want to give a big thank you to Rory for being the other part of this conversation. Truly, truly humbled from a dad to his lad. I thank you. Now time for a jingle.
Coming up on Coffee Pot Conversations.
We'll be covering King Louis XIV, the Sun King, not in a professional historian way, but in the way that we've already come to know and expect from me. And we'll also have a repeat guest. Yep, that's right. Someone has actually said that they'd like to come back and have another chat with me. Don't forget you can follow my writings on an Englishman in Paris blog or follow me on Instagram
at An Englishman in Paris blog.
Coffee Pot Conversations.